Hey families, welcome to this episode of Parent Connect. My name is Stephen Forbes and I'll be your host. But of course, you are all here for my amazing co-host, and that would be Patty Phillips. Patty, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Forbes. How are you?
I am excellent. Well, you know, Easter's coming up. April season is coming up, and it's a big time for families. You know, a lot of things going on, a lot of stuff happening around the house, or maybe hanging out with family or something. I mean, it's going to be fun, right?
Yeah. I mean, I love Easter because, you know, this time of year, it starts getting warmer, the flowers start blooming, and there's just so many awesome things that you can do with your kids. You've been locked up in the house all winter and you're just ready to get out.
I would say all of 2020.
Oh, I feel like we've been locked up for a long time. I'm so ready to get out.
Does your family do any like big Easter traditions? Are there family events that you guys do?
Well, I think for us, Easter is always that time where we get together, and we always get together right after church on Easter Sunday and have like a big meal. We always do the Easter meal later in the day because we've always had church in the morning. So plan and do the Easter stuff after we get home. My kids are older, but when they were younger, we always did these little Easter baskets for them in the mornings. Mm-hmm. And I changed it because I got tired of throwing away the Easter baskets. And I started flipping it, and I would get them things that they could utilize. So like Carowinds passes or bathing suits, you know, things like that, that they could use versus just filling them full of candy and throwing away those Easter baskets at the end. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I was looking at my pantry at the top of it. We have like four, I only have two kids, but we have like four Easter bags, tons of stuff up there. The fake grass is up there. Love it.
That fake grass is the worst. Keep it away from your animals. You know, it can hurt your animals, people.
I did not know that. Well, okay. One of the biggest things we want to talk about today. So with Easter coming up, whenever we have Easter at Elevation Church, one of the biggest things that always comes up is this topic of introducing our kids to the idea of accepting Jesus. And is this something that they might be ready for? What kind of questions might they be asking? How do I know when my kid is ready? Which is the topic of today's episode. It's this idea of, hey, if a church is going to be talking about salvation and how do I make myself part of that process? How do I get myself more involved? How do I know if my kid is going to be making some kind of decision that might or might not involve me? Like, what does that process look like? It's a little bit of a scary time for a parent because you want to obviously be involved when a kid is making this type of decision, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think too, like Forbes, if you look back on your own salvation experience, like how you came to know Christ, like Easter's a big part of that, right? Like that's the whole reason why we celebrate Easter is because we want to share the good news with everyone. So let's talk a little bit about how you came to know Christ. Like, how did you come to know Christ?
Yeah. So my story is interesting. So I accepted Christ when I was a very young kid. I think I was like 6 years old when it happened. And it's hard because like I accepted Christ when I was six, but I didn't really think that it was my own like religion. It wasn't really like my decision. It was something that was kind of put on me. And I didn't really even understand what that meant until I was probably in my teens. So did, you know, the kind of the typical youth camp thing where you go and you sing Kumbaya around a fire and you do all the fun stuff. And then, you know, I rededicated my life much later, but there was that gap between like six and like 13 or 14 where I was like, I don't really know what this means. I don't know if this is mine. I don't know if this is something that I truly believe. It's just something that my family believes and I'm part of my family. So it was a very weird kind of situation for me. And I really do think I was too young to make that decision for myself because I didn't know what decision I was making. Gotcha. What about you, Patty?
Yeah. So my experience was a little bit different. So I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Mm-hmm. So I knew that God existed. I knew the story of Jesus, but we were seasonal Christians. So we always went to church on Easter and Christmas. That's our typical time when we went to church. But I actually got, when I was in middle school, God positioned me around a group of friends who went to church all the time, and they invited me to go to church with them. And I just remember, like, I was a pretty good kid. Like, I really wasn't a bad kid. I had some bad things when I was younger than that. But as I grew up and was in middle school, almost high school, I kind of changed. And I was just a good person. But I remember being in church and sitting there thinking, as the pastor was preaching, how hypocritical I was. Because all of my friends around me thought that I was a Christian. But deep down inside, something in me told me I was missing that relationship component, that I hadn't really like confessed Jesus in front of my friends. Mm-hmm. So I was saved when I was 16. Like, that's when God really spoke to me and I came forward. And it was that moment where he like lifted the lens from my eyes in the sense of saying, hey, you need to pronounce me in front of your friends so that they know that you belong to me. So for me, I was older. And I do think that it is harder when your kids are younger and they start having questions. But I also have three kids, and all three of them have prayed to receive Christ now. And it was that tension as a parent of, hey, are they too young? Do they fully understand? And through the years, I think I've just learned that, hey, the Holy Spirit's going to knock on that door when the Holy Spirit is ready and when the child is ready. And it all starts with the question. Like, get them talking, have them talking to you. And just like your experience, even though you were saved younger and you didn't really feel like that relationship was there, I think later in life, those were seeds that were planted and God continued to work in your life. Totally. So I'm just super excited that we get to talk about this subject, and I'm excited that we will be able to have a couple of guests on later to speak to what it looks like to receive Christ as a child.
Yeah. One thing you mentioned that I want to revisit is this idea of questions. So kids are naturally curious. They're going to be asking questions. And so when a kid begins asking questions about, hey, what does it mean to accept Jesus into my heart? Does that mean like there's like a little man who like lives in my heart now? Or like, you know, we've seen the angel and the devil on my shoulders. They're going to be like a little person right here who tells me what to do all the time, and everything's going to be great, and it's going to be bubbles and rainbows everywhere for the rest of my life. We know that that's not the case, but kids sometimes take things literally. They have lots of questions, and we have a lot of explaining to do. So I guess my first question is, in your experience with your kids accepting Christ, did they come to you with questions first? And what are some of the questions that they were asking as they were indicating that they were ready?
Yeah. So I think the thing that was different between their experience and mine is that we were in church all the time. Like anytime the church doors were open, we've been in ministry for a while, so our kids were in church. So for them, the questions were more like, hey, Mom, you know, I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready to ask Jesus into my life. I feel like I'm ready. And that's where it started. It started with them coming to us, but it started with us planting the seeds early on by doing the things that introduced them to Christ, like taking them to church, listening to worship music, talking about it. And then when they came to us and started asking questions, it just made it easier for us to be open and honest and open our Bible and just talk through, hey, what is sin? What does it mean that we were born sinners? Like, why do we need Jesus to be our Savior? Why was he sent here to die for us? So I do think, Forbes, it is that thing where your kids come to you and they start asking you questions. But I think as parents, we paved the way, right? We paved the way by leading by example and bringing those things to them. What about you? I mean, your kids are young. I'm not sure if either of your kids have received Christ yet, but I'm sure you're planting lots of seeds along the way.
Yeah, definitely. So neither of my kids have made that decision yet. Callie is very curious. I mean, she asks questions all the time. In fact, I think it was Chet during the second episode we ever did. One of the things he talked about was like the power of the moments and just those spontaneous conversations. And so Callie is a couple years older than I was when I accepted Christ, but I'm just kind of allowing her to ask those questions to sort of feel out like, hey, when I really do have a burning question, when I'm really trying to like kind of shape my worldview around these things, what types of questions should I be asking? So I'm really like letting her be curious, ask those questions now. Yep. I'm answering everything to the best of my ability when I can, but I'm really kind of putting it a lot on her. Hey, after eKids Online, did she hear about something that she has a question about? Is there a question about, hey, what happens when we die? I mean, that's like, that's a very real thing that kids ask at that age. And that's a tough thing for them to comprehend or mentally think about what happens with souls and stuff like that. Yeah. So I try to help her along in all that. And Dexter's not asking any of those questions right now. He asks about video games and Transformers, but Callie's beginning to ask those questions. So I think within a year or so, we'll probably be able to have like a more fleshed out, fully explored conversation about Christ.
Yeah. I think the key though is lots of questions. Like I feel like they ask you questions, you ask them questions, and then, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to lead the conversation. Like if you're open and you pray together, God's going to direct you. And I know that hesitation's there for a lot of parents, but I've always told parents, hey, Start with questions. Ask them questions. Are they coming to you with questions?
Well, okay, Patty, question for you. You are an expert parent at this point, 3 kids.
I don't know about expert, but.
What do I do if my kid is asking questions that I can't answer? What are my next steps?
Yeah, I think that's great. So I think the first thing is to be honest and say, hey, I don't know the answer to this, but let's dig in and find out together. Mm-hmm. Let's do some research. Let's open our Bible. Let's use the Google machine that everybody uses to kind of see if we can Google some answers. But I think that's key to let them know that, hey, you don't have all the answers. And our relationship with Christ, we're not going to have all the answers, but we do have a very valuable tool that he's given us. He's given us the Bible. And there's nothing better than sitting down with your kids and opening it together and reading through it and discovering things together.
That's great. I love this idea too, that we're part of a bigger church. You know, your mission field is your kid, right? Mm-hmm. But your mission support is your church. And yes. It's your e-group. It's your e-kids director at the campus, your children's pastor, if you're not part of Elevation. But you do have a much bigger support network. And I think we're going to come across questions that we don't know the answer to, or ways to articulate in a way that a kid might understand. But the good thing is, like, there are resources out there for us to tap into to help us have those conversations with our kids. Okay, so let's kind of just jump around for a second. So if my kid, let's say my kid is 10 years old, what might be what we consider a green flag that my kid might be ready to begin these conversations? What's a sign that says, hey, yep, it's probably about time to begin this?
Yeah, I think when they fully understand, hey, what sin is, like, I think that's one of the things that's so crucial to salvation is to know, hey, what is sin? And then the next thing is to realize that, hey, Jesus was a real person who came to earth for you. So those are the things that I would say are the green flags. And again, it's one of those things where I will say this several times. It's the questions, like them coming to you and asking questions and seeking answers. And I think the biggest thing is for them to fully understand that, hey, we were all born sinners and we're saved by the grace of God. And it's through that that I think you have that green light. Once they get that and they realize, hey, yeah, I do bad things. I lie sometimes. I steal things from my sister. I'm mean to people sometimes. And those things are wrong. Yeah. Those things are not good things. So in order to have forgiveness, I need to ask for forgiveness for those things from a Savior who is my Savior. So I think that's the green light. When they come to you and they realize, hey, what sin is,
yeah,
it's the biggest thing.
You know, one of my, many years ago, I was actually a kids director at one of the campuses at Elevation Church. You know, the opposite of a green flag would be a red flag. What are some of the signs that a kid might not exactly understand what kind of a decision they're getting into? And so one of the questions I always love talking to kids about is, hey, what's the difference between salvation and baptism? You know, is baptism the thing that saves you? Mm-mm. No, baptism is a public profession of faith. And yes. Salvation is an internal decision that you make that becomes your worldview. You know, I want to be more like Christ. Yes. I want to be a Christian. I want to be like Christ. Whereas baptism is just a public way of acknowledging an internal change yep. in your life.
Yeah, I used to tell everybody, because it was just a great visual. For me, it's like baptism is putting on God's jersey. So it's like any time you're on a sports team, you have a special uniform that you wear, right? So it doesn't mean that you're better than anybody else. It just means that, hey, you're on this team. Yeah. So whenever you are baptized, you're just showing everybody you're on God's team. Salvation is what gets you on the team. Yeah. Salvation is the thing that is you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and now you're a part of the team, but baptism is showing them, hey, beyond a doubt, I am on God's team because this is the jersey I'm wearing.
Wow, that's a really cool metaphor. I actually really like that a lot. I wish I had known that a couple of years ago. I'll just come to you for everything from now on. It's
well, terrible.
It's a great idea. Are you kidding? So Patty, we actually have a special guest with us for this episode.
Yes.
So as we're talking about the salvation process and we're talking about what that looks like and people that can help partner with you in order to have these conversations with your family, we thought it'd be a really good idea for us to bring on one of you and me's really good friends.
Yes.
And then also someone who has been a kids director at Elevation for many years and has tons of knowledge and experience. And so we wanted to welcome to the podcast our friend, Aaron Hummel. Aaron, yes. How are you?
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, guys. I don't know about tons of experience, but I do have some experience as a mom, as an e-kids director. It's really a privilege to get to be a part of it.
Yeah. Awesome.
So tell us a little bit about your family, kind of what you do on staff.
Sure, absolutely. I'm a mom of two. My daughter Lily is 18, almost 19. She'll be 19 in 2 weeks. Wow. And my son turns 18 just 2 weeks after that. So wow. Yes, they are a year apart.
And he's 18 too?
He's about to be. I know, it's hard to believe. And part of why it's so hard for Forbes to believe that is because he probably remembers my kids when they were in e-kids.
Yes.
And that's one of many reasons that I'm so passionate about my role as an e-kids director is my kids came up in this ministry. They were 2 and 3. When we became a part of Elevation Church. And so watching them grow up through the eKids ministry has really helped me just stay rooted in my passion to partner with parents, because I have been in the shoes of a parent who is just trying to figure out what does it look like to help your kids on their faith journey. And so getting to now be in a position as an eKids director, walking through parents as they're going through the milestones that I went through with my own is just an honor and a privilege. I love the way you worded it earlier when you said that your child is your mission field, but the church wants to be your mission support. You just nailed it right there. And so absolutely privileged to get to do that.
Yeah, well, we are very glad to have you. And we wanted to really lean on your expertise today as someone who is working as a e-kids director, as a children's pastor, someone who's worked with families and is in the mix, who has had many conversations with families about this specific topic of when is a kid ready? Like, how do we have these conversations? But then we also wanted to see if you could give us some insight as to what that process might look like. So on Easter weekend, when we deliver this message, what can a parent expect to be going through that weekend? You know, what does the process look like when we're on site? So kind of start with this. What does the process look like? If I'm a parent, what can I expect that weekend?
Sure. So if you don't know, eKids operates on what we call a large group and small group model. And really everybody at Elevation is in a large group, small group model. So imagine if you're an adult in the auditorium, you're in large group. And then we hope that you all are connected to a small group, what we call e-groups, outside of the weekend. Well, in eKids, we also have a large group, small group model. And so specifically on Easter, in large group, your child is going to hear the gospel message. Mm-hmm. They are going to hear the salvation message, which includes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for payment for our sins. And they're going to hear that message in a large group setting. And then they're going to have the opportunity to talk about it further in what we call a small group setting. And again, at Elevation, we call those e-groups, but it's a small group setting where the conversation can be a little more personal. And if a child asks questions and expresses interest in digging a little deeper into the gospel message, they have the opportunity to participate in what we call next level e-group. And we don't twist anybody's arm. We don't pressure any kids, nor do we belittle a kid if we feel like, oh, you might be too young or you didn't ask the right questions. There's none of that in this phase of what we're trying to get at, which is really just giving a child a very free and authentic and open opportunity to ask any questions they may have. And so we give kids an opportunity to talk about it more with their small group leader. And then if they would like to participate in the next level e-group, then it's even one level deeper and just some really great questions specific to salvation. And it would talk about a lot of the things that you guys have already covered, which is, you know, what is sin and who is Jesus, and giving children an opportunity to express their personal beliefs, ask any questions that maybe they wouldn't feel comfortable asking in a larger group of children. You know, a next level e-group would be 5 children, for example, as opposed to a larger group setting where a kid may feel uncomfortable. Sometimes, you know, siblings are even in rooms together and kids clam up in front of big brother, big sister, or, you know, like, oh, well, they know that I ate the last candy bar last night. They wouldn't believe that I am ready to make a decision for Jesus.
Yep.
Exactly. All those things that we feel as adults, you know, children feel too. And so way. A next level e-group just creates an opportunity for children in a small setting to ask a trusted e-group leader who has reviewed the materials and prepared. You know, we're preparing for this already. You know, we're a couple weeks out from Easter. I don't know exactly when the podcast will air, but we're a couple weeks out from Easter right now, a few weeks out, and eKids directors and campuses are preparing now. Our next level e-group leaders are preparing now. So in that next level e-group, you know, you've already hit kind of the green flags, red flags, that kind of thing. But if a child is ready to make a decision for Jesus, I don't want to say put a pause button on it, but we let that child know that we're so excited and we want to celebrate that with them. But we want to wait for mom and dad to join us, or mom, or dad, or grandma, or aunt, or uncle, or whoever brought them to the experience. And at checkout, we would let that parent know, hey, we've got something really exciting to share with you. And we have a space created to set aside and give a child and a parent an opportunity to celebrate that moment together and pray together, which is kind of a evolution that we've come to in eKids, because years ago, part of the next level process was praying with children and allowing them to pray and ask Jesus to be a part of their lives and to be their personal savior. And then we celebrated it with the parents when they joined us, but we stopped short of that moment of saying, whoa, wait a minute. You know, you've got mom and dad who are really in the trenches. Yeah. We don't want to miss the opportunity to allow them to walk through this process with their child. So a few years ago, we made a shift to where now that includes the parent. When they come, we say, hey, you know, we believe that your child has expressed the knowledge of who Jesus is as a personal savior and is ready to make that decision and ask Jesus to be their personal savior. And we want you to be a part of that moment with them.
I think that's great. And I love the part where you're partnering with the parents, right? Because that's the whole part of our vision statement, is to partner with those parents to help grow a child's faith. And I can't think of a better way to partner with a parent than to give them the opportunity to pray with their child at such a special moment when they come to know Christ.
Absolutely. You know, partnering with parents is our goal 365 days a year, but there is something so special about getting to partner with parents through these decisions that impact eternity. And Easter is, because of the presentation of the gospel message, a great opportunity to get to do that.
I love that.
So Erin, earlier, Patty and I talked about, is there a red flag? Are there some questions or some things that kids might do or say or think that might indicate that they may not be ready to have this conversation? So let's say that in the next level group, a kid maybe isn't quite ready for this. What resources are there for parents to help grow that faith with their kids?
Sure. Awesome. If you come to pick up your child in eKids and your child has participated in a next level group in any capacity, we're going to let you know that. Yeah. And so whether it's like we spoke about a moment ago, where a child is ready to make that decision and pray that prayer and ask Jesus into their heart, and we're celebrating that moment, we're going to have that conversation with a parent. Another conversation we might have is letting you know, hey, your child expressed interest in learning more about salvation. They participated in a next level e-group today. And what we think is a next great step is what we call a resource called a Faith Starter Kit. And you know, we've talked a little bit about what that might look like. And what we'll often see is, Patty said earlier, you know, talked a little bit about sin and a child understanding sin. And those are some things we'll often see is maybe a child has an absolute beautiful understanding that Jesus Christ is an important person who lived on the world, just like Noah, just like George Washington. But what we'll often see is that maybe they haven't quite developed an understanding of what does that look like for me personally. Wow. Yeah. I understand who Jesus is as an important person to the world, but who is Jesus as an important person to me?
That's
and
so
sometimes that might be what leads us to have a conversation with a parent that says, we are on this beautiful right track of asking questions and expressing a desire to know more about who Jesus is. Here is a great little resource called a Faith Starter Kit that just allows the parent to continue the conversations and feel equipped. And like we've said the word a few times, partnership. We don't ever want a parent to feel like it's a tag team moment where when you pick up at checkout, we are tagging you in and saying, we're out, you're in. We absolutely want you to have a resource that goes back into the home with you where you can feel like, I am not alone in this. I am not alone in this. Mm. And the Faith Starter Kit would be something we would say like, hey, I had some great conversation today. We're honored to be a part of those conversations. Let's keep the conversation going. And we recommend a Faith Starter Kit.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Because again, we talked a little bit earlier about just sitting down with your child and opening up your Bible. And I think the Faith Starter Kit does that. Yep. Like you go through scripture together, yep. you learn together. And what a beautiful way to set up the family is through that Faith Starter Kit. Now, if they're ready to receive Christ, what is the next thing that we give them? What resource do we have?
We have a really great kit called a Next Level Kit. And it is, first, your child gets to pick a Bible. We have some really great cool. Bibles. And many children may have a Bible at home. Maybe the parents have already gifted them one. But this is almost like a milestone type moment. You know, we think as adults, like how many Bibles do we end up collecting? But this is a Bible that's always, hey, the day that I asked Jesus into my heart, yeah. this is a special Bible I received. And then a little devotional goes with that, that begins to guide your child through some of those foundational parts of becoming a believer. And what does it look like to have a daily walk? Because we know, again, you know, salvation is a one-time decision, but living for Christ is a daily decision. Yes. Yep. And that's part of what we want that Next Level Kit to help equip our young men and women to become the next generation of Christ followers.
Well, and that's, you know, we just kind of assume people know how to do things like read a Bible or memorize scripture.
Exactly.
And that's not always the case. And we need to be right there with kids, teaching them how to do this stuff. So I love that there's a resource that allows us to do that.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep.
That's great. Well, Aaron, thank you so much. I mean, this has been incredible. There's no way that Patty and I could have expressed all that so eloquently. And we are thankful to have you on the podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And parents, thank you on behalf of all of the eKids directors at our campus. Thank you for letting us partner with your family.
Awesome. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it. Okay, so now we have two guests with us, some of my favorite people on staff, Jeff and Amber Bates. Jeff and Amber, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
Hey, guys.
We are so glad you guys are here. So why don't you introduce yourself, tell us who you are, tell us a little bit about your kids, maybe what you do on staff.
My name is Jeff Bates. I'm the associate pastor at our Matthews location. Amber and I have been married for almost 21 years.
Get it right. You better get it right.
Yeah. Come on. I had to do the math. Married in 2000. It made it real easy
for us. Oh, that's so easy. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Genius.
You planned it all along.
I did plan that. We have three daughters. They are 18, 16, and 14.
I'm Amber, and I am the guest experience director at the Matthews campus.
Awesome. How long have you been married?
Same time.
Okay, cool.
He did get it right.
Yes.
So you guys said that you have three daughters. So y'all have been through this process before, this salvation process, right? Y'all have been through that as parents. What were some of the green flags? What were some of the ways that you guys knew that your girls were ready to begin having conversations about this?
It was a process. It was over time. I think it came through consistency of them coming to eKids every week and them learning the lessons. And so we made it a routine that every Sunday after church, we would ask, what did you learn in eKids today? And so the process began with them just communicating what they were learning, what they understood, asking questions, us asking them questions. And so it got to the point where they were telling us what grace was. And they were, so that's really how we kind of came to know that they were ready on their own and had a good understanding.
Yeah. So Jeff, what would you say was you and Amber's role in this process?
Yeah, I think it's a lot about, you know, helping your kids. They're just inquisitive, right? They're asking questions all the time. And so, you know, leaning into that sometimes when they're asking, well, what does that mean? And what does that look like? And then, you know, you're able to use Bible stories or you're able to use a story from a show. Like we would use shows and be like, oh, you see how they like forgave that person. That's what that looks like.
That's good.
So not everything has to be a Bible story where it's like, you know, back in the day, this thing happened and they threw the stone and killed the giant.
Yeah.
this is what it's like to overcome sin in your life. You know, and it's like, I can't translate that all. Yes. Yeah. And I don't know. I think it's hard as parents because we're trying to figure it out for ourselves. And now you're leading someone else and then you're responsible for that person too.
Absolutely.
And so we put so much weight on ourselves that God does a lot of the work for us. He gives us things all around us. And then it's just like the conversation on the way home, you know, we're in the car, like you're already in the car. The kids just learned something. Like, don't let them off the hook with like, it was about Jesus today or it was about God today.
Right.
And then, you know, like I said, just trying to bring in other things that they're interested in and talking about their faith through that.
I love that. I love that because what I heard you say, Amber, at the beginning too, is consistency and routine, like exposing them to the church, exposing them to the Bible stories. It's key to have consistency. And I think that's where the questions start coming from is the exposure. If they're not exposed to it, then how can they have those questions? So I think that's great.
And that's a big part of our story. Like we've been around Elevation for 14 years. On staff for 7. This first 7 years was all about volunteering and being involved. And, you know, a lot of times we would wonder, like, are we having them at church too often? Or, you know, like, we're there hours and hours, right, to serve and set up, and we're in portable situations. And, but we just made it like part of who we are as a family.
Oh, I love that.
And it's like, no, this is what we do. We serve together. And so sometimes that was, LB likes to have some meetings, if you guys know Larry Bry. And he'll be like Saturday morning at 8 a.m. And you're like, we have 3 little kids at the time. Like, what are you? And, you know, you just bring them and they're just part of the process. And they just know that is, this is life.
I love that because I shared earlier about how when I was growing up, my family didn't go to church except for Easter and Christmas. So one of the big things that I wanted to do for my family was to make sure that, hey, we were at church. Like we were volunteering anytime the church doors were open. I wanted us to be there because I wanted them to have that exposure. And I think that has led to them asking questions and then coming to know Jesus as their Savior is that exposure. So I think whether that's through volunteering or if you're on staff at a church or if you're just coming on the weekends, like I feel like any exposure is going to be good for your kids.
So Amber, I have a question for you. So we have tons of parents listening to this podcast who might be going through this for the first time, kids who are going to be making decisions over the next couple of weeks and parents are going to be involved in this process. But what advice would you say that you have for a parent who is going through this for the first time? Is there something that you would have done maybe a little differently or something that you tried that worked really, really well for you? But yeah, first time parent, what would you say to them?
I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to know all the answers.
Wow.
And I think the most important advice that I could give is don't feel like you have to say just the right words. I think asking questions goes a long way. So if you're identifying if they're ready to give their life to Christ, then you ask them questions, get clarity on their understanding of what it means to give their life to Christ. And we overcomplicate it. It's very simple. It's very simple. Grace is very simple. Yeah. What Jesus came to do for us, we tend to complicate, but it's a matter of us just accepting it.
And childlike faith.
And so the kids get it. And so we don't have to overcomplicate it. We can keep it simple. And a simple prayer is enough. And it can be really special. Celebration, I think, is a big thing. I do think it's such a significant moment. And it's important to celebrate, too, once they do decide to make that decision.
So can you speak a little to that? Like, what are some things that you did to celebrate that moment for your kids?
We were really busy. We were at church and we were really busy. And so even when the eKids director at the time came and got us and she brought our girls over and she was so excited, she helped make the celebration really big. And she's like, guess what? They want to accept Jesus in their life. And we're like, oh my gosh, that's great. And gave them a big hug. And then it's like, I have stuff to do now. So I've got to get back to work. So hindsight, one thing that we probably would have done different is take them out for ice cream or, you know, something celebratory to really commemorate the moment that they made that decision. But I still think it was special. They got a Bible and, you know, we'd talked about it, but it should be very well celebrated.
That's good.
Yeah, I love that. What was one way that you were able to tell that faith was a internal decision that they had started to take very serious? Was there a change in their, say, behavior or a change in their outlook on life? But when could you tell it really like connected with them?
I think it was when that summer right after they, 2 out of 3, had given the life to Christ in the same time, right around Easter. And then that summer we were like, let's really get after like a Bible reading plan as a family. Yeah. And so the way we did it was I wanted to help them understand progress. So it was like, highlight everything that you read today. And so my challenge to them was like, you know, read one chapter, just one chapter, and then highlight words that you don't understand. And so they're like, you know, starting to learn how to use their Bible and where to start in their Bible. And we learned that the hard way with the oldest one. She was like, she's such a reader. Mm-hmm. And so she just jumped right into the Old Testament. Yes. And she started asking all kinds of weird Old Testament questions. And I was like, New Testament. I said, start with the New Testament.
Really slamming Leviticus.
Yeah, you're like, no, this is not okay. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, nothing huge as far as, you know, all of a sudden they weren't anxious or all of a sudden they weren't trying to figure out how to talk to their sister or, you know, talk to us or all those things. And, you know, we do the same thing in our own walk of faith, right? Like all of a sudden we're like, fix me, Jesus. And the next day, there it is again. There's that same thing I'm dealing
still
with.
There.
And so we experience that with our kids too. It's one of those things I think the enemy highlights in our lives where it's like, oh, maybe they didn't accept Christ because see, they're still dealing with something just like he does with us.
Absolutely.
But as a parent, you're already like, I hope I don't mess this child up. Yeah. Like, that's just my mindset at all times. And I'm like, please, Jesus, like, do everything you need to do with, like, through this weakness of mine, of me being a parent. And I just don't want to, like, eternally screw this kid up.
Yeah.
But no, then it's about, like, you know, all of a sudden they're talking about what they want to pray for. And the fact that they know that they can talk to God.
I love that.
Like, that's a huge win. He's not too big or too busy for them. And then Amber does a really great job of like, well, have you prayed about that? You know, like, cause we do the same thing, right? As parents.
Yeah.
It's, I worry about it and I call it prayer. And then I don't want to put that on my kids too. And, I know you're concerned with it, but have you prayed about it?
Yeah.
Like, well, what verse can help you with this? You know, and it's asking questions so that they can discover their own faith because I don't want to be the source of their faith either.
Yeah.
It's about them learning how to use their Bible, learning how to pray, learning how to, you know, wrestle with things. And it's giving them the freedom to wrestle with it as well.
Well, and I think that's the thing. It's not a once and done thing.
No.
It's a continuing conversation. So even after that big moment that they made the decision that they wanted to accept Christ for themselves, there's ongoing conversations about what that means.
Yeah.
What does that mean now? Yeah. In situations where things come up at school and a friend makes them mad and how they deal with it. And so we talk through that from a Christian perspective and incorporate verses. And so it's great when they're starting to apply those in certain situations and they're writing down prayer journals and things like that. So it's a growing process. It takes time.
Yeah, I love that. I love that because Aaron also talked about how, you know, salvation is, it's that starting point, but it's not the end. It's the beginning of something.
Right.
And the development comes throughout your life as you continue to run that race. So I think that that is key. It starts with that question and accepting Jesus, and then you continue the conversation and you always point them back to scripture. Hey, challenge them, get into God's word. If you don't understand what this word means, let's talk about it. And I loved what you said when you knew that it almost like clicked for your kids when they started to own their own faith, because Forbes talked earlier about how his salvation experience, he received Christ when he was young, when he was about 6 years old. And he questioned that throughout his life because he didn't know if he really owned it. Like he didn't really own it at that moment.
Yeah, you wonder if it was that my parents' decision, was that my decision?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's almost like you look to other people who got saved when they're in their 20s or 30s and you're like, oh, you're so lucky because now you know
yes,
that's yours.
Everyone's got like a cool story.
Yes.
Like, oh, you know, I was walking on the road, a bright light shone down. You're like, oh man, what a bright light. Man,
and they ask you, you're like, Bible school, stupid Bible school.
When I was like six, leaping lizards for Jesus.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, I was like, I don't even know.
I think that's where it's important, though. As a parent, it's our job to always point them back to those moments. Like, it's our role as a parent to help remind them of, hey, do you remember when you did receive Jesus as your Savior? Do you remember the questions you asked then? I think it's our role as the parent to continue that discipleship with our kids. And that's part of it. Part of it is always pointing them back to the things that God has done in their lives so that they can see the growth.
That's great. Well, Jeff and Amber, thank you so much. This has been incredibly insightful. I know all parents who are listening to this podcast are like just downloading all this information, repeating it back, listen to this section again. So thank you so much for being on Parent Connect. Appreciate you guys.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Well, we had two amazing interviews today. Patty, yes. I feel like a better parent.
Oh, me too. Oh, such great
conversations. Well, and I do feel way more prepared. I mean, you know, I mentioned earlier, I have two young kids. I have a five-year-old and I have an eight-year-old. And these are conversations that I haven't had yet. And so I really do feel way more prepared knowing that it's not something that always does feel like this, like, click moment, but it's something that I need to help develop my kids over time. And it's mm-hmm. something I need to constantly invest into them. They're not just going to automatically get it one day. It's That's a right. process.
Yes.
So I love that a lot. But, you know, we had some amazing guests. I cannot wait to go into this Easter season, or really any time where we're having conversations about salvation. It doesn't necessarily happen on Easter. It could happen in August, happen in September. It could happen over the summer. But anytime that our kids beginning to have these conversations, hopefully you can look back at this resource and say that this was something that was really beneficial to you. But as always, thank you so much for joining us on Parent Connect. Patty, thank you so much for being an amazing co-host. You asked some amazing questions. Thank you so much. Yeah.
I enjoy being here.
And we did want to remind you that if your family does have a great salvation story coming out of Easter, we do want to hear about it because we want to celebrate with you. We talked about earlier, Amber said, celebration is such a big part of this moment.
It is.
We want to know how we can celebrate with you. So find us on Instagram, find us on Facebook. If you look at Elevation eKids, you can find us at most of the socials that we have, or you can find us through anything related to Elevation Church. You can always find eKids or elevationchurch.org/eKids. We love you. As always, you are the best parent to parent your child. And so just remember that as we go into this season. But thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you soon.